dip, dip, whip, bump, zap, zap, zap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. Hockley keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb, herb man, herb man.
Hey, good afternoon, good afternoon. We are excited to be with you this afternoon and want to welcome to another episode of To Your Health. It's a program that's designed not only to inform, but also to change your life and health around. I'm your host, Dr. Theodore Watkins, and I am assisted by my able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. And welcome, Frank.
Good afternoon, Doc.
We have another outstanding topic today. Our topic today is treatment versus cure. It reminds me of a poem I learned when I was in junior high school. A fence or an ambulance. A fence or an ambulance. You know, there was a community that had this cliff that had a beautiful scenic view of the valley. All right, and people would come from far and wide to look over the cliff, but they would get too close often and slip off and injure themselves or even die. And so the townspeople got together, Brother Frank, and they said, we got to do something about this. Some said, let's build a fence around the edge of the cliff to prevent people from falling. Others said, no, let's put an ambulance in the valley to catch them when they fall. Because if we build a fence, they won't be able to get so close and the view won't be so good. And it's going to be bad for business. You know, we have for the last 4 to 6 weeks been focusing on the concept of developing our own communities free of disease. Developing our own community free of disease. Developing our own blue zone, if you please. Blue zone is a place where people live in their 90s, 100s, or no medicines, you know. But I believe that one of the barriers to us developing our blue zone is our accepting the concept that we don't have to be sick. Now, Brother Frank, you know, we know we're strong, but I'm telling you, there are many people who believe they have to be sick. Disease and sickness has become a major part of our modern life. In fact, the treatment of these diseases has become one of the most profitable businesses on the planet.
Mercy.
Yet, if you haven't noticed it, the treatment does not eliminate the disease. the treatment does not eliminate the disease. But you told me a few minutes ago, Frank, what was that definition? You remember that definition of treatment that you said, you know, when you looked it up, what was the definition of the word treatment?
The definition was had to do with cure or mitigate the symptoms and the disease itself.
All right.
Seems so, like we're not curing. So
we've left out a significant part because treatments are not even now designed to eliminate these diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your blood pressure medicine, your high blood pressure medication, just as the doctor's prescribed. And in fact, you've been doing this now for the last 20 to 30 years, right? You started out on one medication, and then you went to two, and now you're up to three to four different medicines, and your blood pressure is still out of whack. You're now also on three medicines for diabetes, and these two have come together, have collaborated, promote the deterioration of your kidneys. And so you're now also in chronic renal failure. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Heading to dialysis.
Lord have mercy. And to make the matters worse, your doctor will not tell you in many instances until it's too late that your kidneys are even failing you. And in fact, Frank, the labs are misleading. All right, the labs are misleading. Now, doc, you know, lost your head. So I show my patients the GFR, the glomerular filtration rate. If you recall, I've told our WPFW listeners that there are two numbers that they need to know. They need to know the hemoglobin A1C, which is their diabetes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know their GFR, glomerular filtration rate, which is kidneys, all right? And so when they go and get the GFR, they tell me, my doctor said my GFR is good, all right? I tell them, Frank, I don't care what your doctor say. I want to see the numbers. Because if you look at the paper, it says that the reference range, now when you see reference range or reference interval, you would think that means that's the number it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says that the reference interval on just about every lab I've seen is greater than 59 or 60 or greater, all right?
Right.
That's the reference range.
Mm-hmm.
But then I take my patient to Google. I pull up my phone and I hit Google and I ask Google, what is the stage of kidney failure for someone with a GFR of 60 or 65 or 70? And they'll say that if you have a consistent GFR, 3 months or more, 60 to 89, you're in stage 2 kidney failure. What?
Mercy.
You're in stage 2 kidney failure. Now, I also quickly tell my patients, because I don't want them in too much shock, that stage 2 can be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
But what they got to do to reverse it, Brother Frank?
Change.
Oh, Lord. what they got to do, they got to change their lifestyle. All right. Now, so I need to explain. Being a doctor, I'm certainly not against treatment.
No, sir. Treatment.
And elimination of disease.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was about 5 years of age, I decided that I wanted to become a doctor. And I remember, Brother Frank, it was because my mama was in pain. She had a duodenal ulcer. Mm. At the time, we thought it was a gastric ulcer, but it was actually a duodenal ulcer in the first part of the small intestines. Mm-hmm. I felt helpless to eliminate her pain. So I decided that when I grew up, my mama would not have to worry anymore about being sick. Now some of the listeners may say that was commendable. And yes, I guess, especially seeing that as that project boy, that boy on welfare, you know, seeing the fact that I actually followed through to my commitment and was able to help my mama to live to the ripe old age of 92 on no medication. So she would have made it to the blue zone, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
She would have made it to our black blue zone.
That's right.
But I was able to do this not just because of my MD degree, but perhaps it was more important because of my lifestyle. You see, about the age of 10, I became a vegetarian. In fact, I was the first person in my family to become a vegetarian. But my mother, not long after, joined me in eliminating animal food from her diet. All right? And so, you know, I was able to help her because of my lifestyle change. And then, of course, when I entered holistic medicine, that really was the key.
Yeah.
Now, in this country, we have really committed to treating illness. I mean, we spend nearly three times the average of any other developing country. Not the undeveloped. Three times as much as any other developing country on healthcare. All right? But Brother Frank, we got a whole bunch of sick folk in this country. One study said that 6 out of 10 adults in the United States have at least one chronic illness.
Mm.
And that 4 out of 10, 40%, have two or more chronic illnesses. Now, there's a lot of sick folk in this country. And if we take the time and look at the diseases that plague our community, we'll see that you know, the number one is what, Brother Frank?
Heart disease.
No. You've been around me too long. You know, the number one problem in our country, the number
stress.
One.
Stress.
Stress. Stress is the number one cause. About 60% of adults in this country are stressed. About 60% of adults in this country are stressed. All right? That's about 156 million people are stressed.
Mercy.
All right? And I say stress is the number one cause of death because heart disease, stress, cancer, stress, diabetes, stress, mm-hmm. hypertension, stress, you name it, stress is there. All right?
Precursor.
There are about 18.2 million people that develop heart disease every year, and about almost 700,000 of them die every year.
Mm-hmm.
From heart disease. There's about 122 million people suffering from high blood pressure. We said that high blood pressure, hypertension, is the number one cause of disease and disability in the world.
Yep.
And certainly we showed a way with over a third of Americans, adults, being hypertensive. There's 1.9 million new cases of cancer every year. There are about 37 million cases of diabetes in this country. And most of them, I think I saw one statistic, that up to 80% of the people who are diabetic or pre-diabetic don't even know that they have it. Wow. In fact, they say that over 50% of Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. So being pre-diabetic is okay, right, Frank? You're not diabetic?
Not quite.
That's right. You're right, Frank. You're right. Because the complications of diabetes, the blindness, number one cause of blindness, amputation, number one cause of amputation, kidney failure, number one cause of kidney failure, heart disease, increased heart disease by 500%, strokes, increased strokes by 200%. All of those start in the pre-diabetic phase.
Mercy.
All right? And we learned in our class with Dr. Cheatham that insulin resistance, which is behind diabetes, as well as atherosclerosis, hypertension, heart disease, stroke, starts 10 to 12 years before there's a change in blood sugar. So before you even know that you're pre-diabetic, you have the makings of pre-diabetes. Lord have mercy. I'm sorry. But I just had to set this thing up. I don't know if this is new cases, but 807,000, I believe it's new cases of kidney failure every year. About 91 million cases of arthritis. So we are a sick issue, a sick people. And the issue that I want to deal with today is, what is the reason for this? Why are we so sick? And probably more important, what are we doing to solve this problem? You know, I think if we're all honest, we recognize that we've been bombarded with a lot of misinformation. And one of the problems is we got a lot of misinformation. Because let's take it, you know, if I was hypertensive, which I'm not, if I was hypertensive and I go into my doctor and I'm diagnosed with hypertension, a disease that I've gotten because I've been encouraged on every, almost every media that we have to eat wrong and follow the wrong lifestyle, a lifestyle that promotes disease, all right? I've been encouraged to do this. Now, I can't take all the responsibility, because there's a lot of information, and we'll talk about that later, to show me that's crazy and fools rush in, so I shouldn't be a fool. But I must understand that I don't have high blood pressure because of my genetics. I don't have hypertension because I'm poor or because I'm black or even because I'm elderly. I have hypertension because of my lifestyle.
That's right.
Now I want our listeners and with your question or comments, I want you to get ready to call 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. I know I'm hitting hard today. I understand. But have you ever asked yourself why our society or even our government has not done more to give us the best information and support to live the most healthy life possible? You know, I mean, our government pays a lot of money out on health care. And it would seem to me that these folks that's always hollering about us spending money would be more interested in doing something about the fact that as a government, all right, we aren't speaking up and doing something. We must recognize that there's no shortage of research. There's no shortage of data to inform us at what we need to do, you know, and what we shouldn't be doing, you know. And if we were really serious about improving our health, you know, Frank, we could come together as a community, and we could produce the most healthy, tasty diet on the planet. All right?
That's right.
You know, I mean, see, a lot of folks say, well, you know, I don't want to live a healthy life because, you know, I don't want to give up my good taste in food. We've talked about that. I ain't gonna get into the reason that fried chicken tastes good is them herbal seasonings you're putting on it. But I ain't gonna say nothing about that. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, you know, but even I didn't. It wasn't until I left surgery, and after I started functioning as a preventative and restorative doctor, that my eyes started to open, you know, and I began to see that many individuals were sick and were even dying, not because their cases were hopeless, but rather because our approach to treating their illness was incomplete or totally incorrect. I'm sorry. That's what I began to see. I began to see that we are treating symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. All right? Because, Frank, if you come into me, got some pain, I need to do everything I can to eliminate that pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But eliminating the pain is what? Step one. Eliminating the pain is step one. We now need to try and understand why you're in the pain in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And do everything we can to eliminate the underlying problem. But we don't do that, see? See, nope. It's not enough to get rid of the tumor, Brother Frank. Because if we don't deal with what caused the tumor in the first place, all right, it's going to come back. It's going to reoccur.
That's right.
And when it reoccurs, it's going to be stronger. And our immune system, which we need to get rid of it, is going to be weaker. And the combination of those two presents a poor outcome in many cases. Now, I want folk to recognize that we need to do something about this, and that's why I'm talking about it today. We need to recognize this thing. I remember my senior year in medical school. I don't know if it was a coincidence or it was providence, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing an elective in cardiology. And right around the same time, I had seen Nathan Prinigan on television. You know, Nathan Prinigan was sent home to die because of heart disease. Mm-hmm. But he decided he wasn't ready to die. And so he went to Loma Linda, where they got that, you know,
Blue Zone.
Mm-hmm. Longest living Blue Zone in the world. He went to that community, to the med school, dusted off the books, and read that if you change your diet and if you exercise, you could reverse the heart disease. And so I got his book, and I read it, And I was making rounds on 6 East. And I asked my attending, who is just a brilliant cardiologist, is it true what this man is saying, that we can prevent or reverse heart disease with diet and exercise? Brother Frank, I'll never forget his answer. It's riveted in my brain. Mm-hmm. He said, Jeff Watson, it's true. I mean, I was struck, man. So I said, so why are we doing it? Almost verbatim, he said, there's two reasons, Watson. One, there ain't no money in it. And two, the patients don't want it. They want something easy. And I'm telling you, that is, unfortunately, what we find in our community. But you, I want to just run my mouth. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Give us a call with question or comment. Let's go to our phones. Let's call her. You're on the line. Caller?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on the line. Question or comment?
Hi, a comment. Thank you very much, Dr. Watkins and Frank. I look forward, my name's Lynn, and I look forward to your program every week. I can't thank you enough. I used to be real healthy, and I believe in everything you're saying, but I have to tell you, I feel really hopeless right about now. I was poisoned with chemicals, and I'm really unhealthy. I can't get to a doctor. I can barely walk to a mailbox. But one of the things to consider is, don't be Dr. Google. I had a great doctor, and after a few years, it's like she couldn't even write a prescription without looking at a tablet, her iPad, or do anything. The devices aren't healthy. They're not good for our eyes. They're not good for our bodies. We're exposing ourselves to radiation. But I'm going to keep listening to you. I can't even get to the store. My house is falling apart. And
well, a lot of doctors actually, maybe we, do telemedicine, you know. So if you got a phone, if you got a computer, you can get to a doctor. And the beautiful thing that I've learned is that many of the, quote, hopeless cases are not hopeless. I mean, you know, I had a lady in my office just this past week. She's one of my final patients for the week. And she came in here with one of those roller, what do you call those things? Rollator.
Yeah.
I think I invented the rollator because when I went to these senior buildings, I put the folk behind wheelchairs and had them push the wheelchair and walk. But she came in on the rollator.
Yep.
And sat down, and after we talked a little bit, we established a relationship. I told her to stand up, and she went to push herself. I said, no, you can't use your hand.
Yeah.
You thought I was crazy, caller.
Bless your heart. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you. And also the trampoline. And you can get a trampoline that has a handrail.
Trampoline. But the end of the story is before she left that office, she had stood up without using her hands 3 times.
Yes.
All right?
Okay, I'm going to take your advice.
All right. Stand up three times in the next half hour. You have your rollator or wheelchair or something in front of you. All right, your walker, so that you know, and you can even put your hands on it, but you can't pull yourself. You use it just to balance. You got to push up.
I don't have a wheelchair or rollator. I'll just put my hands on my chest and I'll stand up and use my abs. Bless your heart.
All right.
Bless you abundantly and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Let's call her. You're on the line. Let's call her.
Hey, Dr. Watkins, Marvin from Washington. How you doing, man?
Hey, Marvin. What's happening, brother?
Hey, man. I'm getting better every day. Yeah, I was having a conversation with a loved one, if I remember yesterday, and the conversation went good until we got on things like juicing and juicing, because, you know, she has cardiovascular issues and her doctor put on her medication. So, you know, when we start talking about stuff that I'm taking, like olive leaf extract, complex, like 2 to 6,000 a day, juicing like 64 ounces of bee juice and green juice. And the first thing that comes to people might say, isn't that expensive? But hey, shoot, I mean, it's expensive when you're on medications and eating the wrong foods all the time and stuff like that, man. So right. You're right, man. I mean, you know, we got to, Dr. Watkins, man, let's start a health support group, man. I want to get into a health support group as
we start one. That's what this Black Blue Zone is all about. We just getting folks ready. We're gonna hit it, man.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in your office Wednesday. Okay?
All right.
I post you on Facebook too, man. We got to spread the word, man. We got to. I got to get well. And all of us got to get well, man.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing, Marvin, I'm happy to hear how well you're juicing and so forth. You continue, Marvin's been my patient for many, many years, Brother Frank. And the beautiful thing is, sometimes we forget. It didn't happen overnight, you know.
Right.
Sometimes ups and downs and sideways.
I fell off the track several times.
You have to be patient with your loved one, and you may need to get them to see me, because I may, you know, we often don't listen to people close to you.
Exactly.
If you can get them to come see me, they may listen, or somebody like me. Don't have to be me.
You know, Dr. Watkins, man, I mean, all of us get set in our ways, man. I get set in my ways, too.
The last thing I'm going to say is pray right. for him, Brother Marvin. Right.
and you know, we got to get into it.
The only thing you can do is pray for him, and that they'll get some sense, and they'll wake up. You may get somebody else to talk to them, you know, even if they won't necessarily come to me. Somebody else may be able to talk to them and convince them. Thank you so much. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Let's call her. You're on the line. All right. Let's cut your radio off, please. Thank you. You're on the line.
Okay. I want to know the purpose of using olive oil, because I used to color my hair, and in 2 weeks, all the color was out. And also,
what's the purpose of what?
Olive oil.
Olive oil?
What does it do in your body?
So olive oil, is, as you know, is omega-3 fatty acid, all right? And omega-3 fatty acids tend to be good. They decrease inflammation. They help reverse the atherosclerotic process. You know, lower blood pressure, blood sugar, you know, but you have to use them in moderation, because they're high in fat. All right. But in moderation, olive oil is very good. Now, I tell people, I don't recommend cooking with olive oil, because it breaks down at a low temperature. And so, but once you cook your food or you with your salad, you can mix a little bit of olive oil in there with it. And it adds good flavor, and it's also good for you.
The reason why I asked, because I used to put color in my hair, and in 2 weeks, all the color was gone.
I don't think it was because of the olive oil. what you want to do is you want to start eating right, and you may, we can't speak. My hair is still black. Now, my beard is gray, you know, I'm almost 80 years old. My hair is still black. And I think it's still black because of the foods that I'm eating that supplying the nutrients, you know. And I've even seen people's, the color of their hair change once they start eating properly. So that may be one impetus to start eating right. And you may want to go online and look up foods that will help to maintain or even restore hair color.
Okay. Last question. What's the purpose of enemas?
Enemas? Enemas are used, well, there are a number of different kinds of enemas. But basically, enemas are used to clean out the colon. And we are a constipated community. And so sometimes we need aids, although I don't recommend a whole lot of enemas. I mainly recommend that people clean from above through fasting, detoxification, eliminating, doing juice fasts and so forth. But enemas can be used to clean out those colons. I know when I had hepatitis and I could not take anything by mouth, so I couldn't do a fast. I got a colonic, and it really cleaned me out and was very, very good. Get those poisons out of your system. Thank you so much for your very important questions. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Rick Barco, Dr. Watkins.
All right, Brother Rick.
What is your theme today, your subject?
It's treatment versus cure. Treatment versus cure. You know, it seems that we're focused in this society on treating and not curing people, and so we're just bringing that to the attention of folks so they can act on it, because knowledge is what? Knowledge is power. So we're just talking about that, Brother Rick.
Brother man, I would suggest to your audience that reducing your meat is the beginning of
eliminate
new life. And if you can reduce the meat and quit the meat altogether, you can beat a lot of the other ills that come with American and European diet and lifestyle.
You know, Brother Rick, we can do anything, but we got to first recognize that we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if people recognize that the foods that they're eating are killing them, they can get off of it if they want to live.
Oh, yeah.
I don't waste my time now trying to convince people to do. I inform them, and because I know if they want to do it, they're going to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but I tell them what they need to do. I don't tell them they need to decrease their meat. I tell them they need to eliminate their meat, because meat is deadly. Studies have shown if you eat, for instance, one egg a day, it doubles the risk of prostate cancer progression.
Yeah.
If you eat less than one serving of chicken a day, that's reduced, right? It quadruples the risk of prostate cancer. And that study was done at Harvard University. So I don't tell people to reduce. I tell them to eliminate. And then I try to give them support. If they're serious, I give them the support. And that's what we're going to do. The brother asked about a support group. That's what we're going to do in our support group. We're going to help not only educate, but support and motivate. And folk who want to do it, then they'll do it. And then the others will either tag along or they'll die prematurely.
Thank you, brother man.
All right, my brother. You stay safe over there in Germany. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. I think we have another caller on. Let's go back to our phones. Let's call her. You're on the line.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Watkins. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Speak a little louder, please.
Yeah, sure. I've been plant-based, you know, little meat, little animal products for a while, so I am on board, but my question is, do you think that these illnesses are happening because of the quality of the animals that we're eating nowadays? Because if we look back, you know, as humans, we've been consuming animal meat and animal products. So is it the lack of, is it bad quality, or is it just,
it's a number of things. One is it's the quantity, you know, mm-hmm. Quantity is one of the factors. People, back in the day, they didn't eat a lot of meat. They ate some, and it was sort of a condiment. It added, you know, it wasn't the main course.
Correct.
Now it's the main course, meat and potatoes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of the factors. Another factor is the quality of the meat, you know, and because as a society, we allow these corporations to get away with murder. Oh. All right. Because we don't insist that they produce a quality product. You know, the stuff that we sell here cannot be sold. Many of the things that we sell here cannot be sold in Europe. Mm-hmm. And not that Europe is perfect. It can't be sold in Canada. Not that Canada is perfect, but they will not tolerate what we tolerate here. And so the chemicals that they're putting in this, the kind of feed and so forth, the conditions under which they grow these animals, so they're stressed out, you know, and all those hormones and so forth are being pumped into their system, all that adrenaline, and these animals can like smell death. They know it's coming, and so the adrenaline is just there, and bam, we eat it and we get it. Plus the pollution in our environment. You know,
yeah,
I love me some red snapper. I love me some grouper, but I don't eat it. Why? Because the water is so polluted. All right,
yep.
And so we have to love ourselves more than we love these things that's killing us. You know,
yeah.
And so I've eliminated all. You know, and so that's what I would suggest, my brother.
Yeah,
there are many other factors, but those are some that come right to the top of my. But thank you so much for your question. It was very, very, a very good question.
All right. Yeah, thanks for your sharing the knowledge. Appreciate your time.
All right. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hello, Dr. Watkins. I got a question. I've stopped eating meat for over 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I'm still eating seafood every now and then, but I've eating a lot of carbs lately. And I did a colonoscopy like a year ago, and they said I was okay. But every time I use the restroom, there's always like blood that's coming out. And I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
So,
I mean, it's
the carbs. Are you eating whole grain? I mean, whole carbs. Are you, you know? I mean, carbs is a big deal. I mean, fresh fruit are carbs. Fresh vegetables are carbs. Nuts have a lot of carbs. Seeds have a lot of carbs. You know, beans have a lot of carbs. So, you know, are they whole grain? Are they whole food? I should say whole food types of carbs. Are they processed carbs?
Yeah, I mean, I see myself eating a lot of, like, canned beans. I do eat a lot of vegetables. But then other than that, like, you know, like breads and potato chips, you know, so I would say it's like half and half.
All right, so what I would do is I would check the amount of water you're drinking. All right? I would check the amount of water you're drinking because that's going to promote healthy bowel movements. I would also check the amount of fiber that you're taking in. Those processed foods don't have fiber, all right? The whole foods have fiber, but then they have these phytonutrients that are good for the bowel. Phytonutrients, you know, that contain stuff to heal the body. You know, so I would look at the whole picture. and see where we need to go. You know, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't take a lot of water in. I know that for a fact because I don't like drinking it. It's tough. Okay.
So, add a little lemon a little lemon juice, a little fresh lemon juice or something like that to the water add a little taste, the minerals. You can add that. You know, that'll help. Thank you so much for your call. All right.
Listen out for the number. You probably need to make an appointment with Dr. Watkins. Okay. Listen out.
The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's quickly go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, Dr. Watkins. My complaint is arteries. My arteries are not good. However, I have been listening to you, and I eat lots of beans. I wrote notes about arugula, beet greens, and other greens, but I don't know the amounts because I am trying my own smoothies.
Mm-hmm. He who have himself or a doctor has a fool for a doctor. You need to get some guidance, all right? Those things that you're doing are good, but you need somebody looking over your shoulder making sure. You know, sometimes we think we're doing good when it's really not good. People tell me I'm on a good diet. I say, don't tell me that. Tell me what you eat.
I believe you.
Yeah. So that's what I would suggest. And get under a good nutritionist, a good doctor, you know, that can guide you. Most doctors don't know nothing about nutrition. So you got to find somebody who knows about nutrition and let them direct you. And you'll be amazed at what can happen.
Yep.
The number is 202-588-0893. We just got a couple of minutes. Let's quickly go back to our phone. Yes, Carly, you're on the line.
Yeah. That's what I was suggesting.
All right, cut that radio off. And question or comment?
Question. I appreciate your show and what you were talking. I did not hear what you were saying about the eggs. I just wanted you to just...
Yeah, so I was dealing with the issue of being eating a small amount of bad stuff. You know, there was a Harvard study. They were looking at the best foods and worst foods for prostate cancer, and they found out if a person ate one egg a day, and I used to eat many more than that, one egg a day, it doubled the risk of prostate cancer progression. And progression was defined as the cancer coming back, the cancer going to the bone, and death. All right? If they ate less than one serving of chicken or fish a day, it quadrupled four times the risk of prostate cancer progression. I'm saying we need to look at, because of the way the foods are produced and so forth, we need to look at going whole food, plant based.
Okay, I appreciate it. Right. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. I think we got time for maybe one more caller, so let's quickly go back to the phone. We'll maybe try to squeeze in two. All right, next caller, question or comment.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for your knowledge. I am suffering from alopecia. And I was just wondering if my diet has something to do with this.
Yes, yes. Your diet can contribute to the alopecia.
To the hair loss, okay.
Yeah, the hair loss. And there are certain foods that will strengthen the hair and the nails, and there are other foods that will, you know, soak off those vessels going to those hair follicles. So I would look at that. Plus, there's certain herbs that can also improve the situation. So you wanna look at the whole picture. You know, at some point you may want to give me a call, and I may be able to help you with that process.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right. I think we may have time for this one last caller. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
I think that's it, Doc.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, I'm excited. You know, we need to recognize, Brother Frank, we have to stop just placating things, putting a Band-Aid over the cancer, and we got to get rid of the cancer. All right, and we got to do it before it gets too late. All right,
yeah.
Do it before it gets too late. Any final comments that you have, my brother?
Thank you, Doc, so much for this information. If you want to make an appointment with Dr. Watkins, call 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. That's 202-388-0992. Or you can go to www.twiliving.com. TWI stands for the Watkins Institute. TWIliving.com. We want to thank Kalia Chapman, our fantastic engineer, Jerry Paris, general manager, Katia Stitt, program director, Mayuki Williams, Esther Ivram, and all the WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni, for helping keep DC healthy for 32 years now. Thank you, Ola Dari and Maka B, for supplying our intro and outro music. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. Listen in next Monday at 2 o'clock for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health.
Salamata. I tell on a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth, I need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, they look at me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. You wanna hear what me eat? Yo, I eat calalo, aki, sweet potato, yam, banana, and tomato, cabbage, spinach, avocado, chocho, butter, bean, and cocoa, courgette, millet, plantain, rice, and peas, and pumpkin, mango, dates, and guava, chickpeas, and cassava, Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower, onion, fennel, and cucumber, plum, pear, and papaya, aubergine, and saya, lime, lentils, and quinoa, oatmeal, bread, and oatmeal flour, watercress, and okra, tofu, and sweet pepper, couscous, and carrot, broccoli, and coconut, peaches, apples, apricot, red fruit, jackfruit, soursop, pistachios, cashews, and almonds, walnut, peanut, also pecan, sesame seeds, some flour, lemon, orange, pineapple, and melon, bongo, wheat, and garlic, kiwi, corn, and turnip, pacho, and pomegranate, hijiki, and rocket berries, cherries, and strawberries, beetroot, okay, fruit, and celery. You see, the meat's not necessary. We tell them, say, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan. Hey, look how me big and me say, look how me strong. Some people can't believe that me a vegetarian. If you want a healthy body, check the real Rasta man. Cause Rasta man will tell you about the right nutrition. Me get me calcium, me sodium, me get potassium. Me get me zinc, me get me iron and me magnesium. Instead of yam the fish, me yam what the fish yam. Like the kelp and Irish monster growing at the ocean. Me get me
me proteins and me minerals. Me get me calories, the vitamins A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the F, the G. Essential fatty acid like the omega 3. Me get me fiber and me carbohydrates in my body. Don't forget your water, drink a few glass a day. The toxins in your body, just flush them away. Some of the things you eat, stuff in your body and decay. When it come to food, I don't play. We tell them, say, how will me eat them? I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How will me...
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Today, the United Nations Security Council issued its first demand to halt the fighting in Gaza, calling for a ceasefire during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which began on Sunday, March 10th, and runs until Tuesday, April 9th. Since Ramadan ends next month, the ceasefire demand would last for only 2 weeks, though the resolution draft says the pause in fighting should lead to a permanent, sustainable ceasefire. The United Nations resolution, which passed 14-0, demands the release of hostages but does not make it a condition for the ceasefire. This has drawn criticism from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was upset that the United States did not use its power to veto the United Nations resolution. Instead, the U.S. chose not to vote on the resolution because, according to White House National Security spokesman John Kirby, the wording of the resolution, quote, did not condemn Hamas. However, Kirby said the United States has been consistent in its support for a ceasefire as part of a hostage deal. Due to the United States' actions with regard to the resolution, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled a scheduled visit to D.C. to discuss his plan of attack in the war. Are you ready for the solar eclipse? Well, in 2 weeks, on Monday, April 8th, a total solar eclipse will transform the daytime sky across large parts of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The moon will pass directly between the sun and the earth, briefly blocking out the sun's rays and darkening the sky in the middle of the day. NASA reports that some of the best places to see the solar eclipse in the United States include Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and Texas. Of course, the timing of this momentous event will vary widely based on where a person is located. You can find more details about where and when to see the total solar eclipse by going to science.nasa.gov. Again, that's science.nasa.gov. To your local news, in New York, a 30-day grace period came to an end today for Donald Trump and his co-defendants. This grace period had been granted by New York Attorney General Letitia James to allow Trump and company to come up with a bond to appeal the judgment of his civil fraud trial. The bond amounted to $464 million. Now, though, the New York State Court of Appeals has ruled that the former president only has to pay a portion of that amount, $175 million. Donald Trump now has 10 days to come up with that decreased amount, and says he will do so very quickly. Meanwhile, in the separate hush money case, a judge says the criminal trial against Trump will begin on April 15th with jury selection. To the D.C. area, the 2024 D.C. History Conference is happening next month from April 4th to April 6th at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the conference, as the first one was organized in 1973 and delivered in January of 1974. The purpose of this conference is to have insightful discussions on D.C.'s past, present, and future, but also includes nearby Maryland and Virginia and the federal government. The D.C. History Conference welcomes students, community members, educators, artists, storytellers, and cultural heritage workers to join them for this free 3-day event. Registering for this event allows anyone interested to attend either all weekend, just one day, or even just for one panel discussion. In order to register, go to conference.dchistory.org. Again, that's conference.dchistory.org. In today's weather, it's currently about 48 degrees in New York and 55 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this